This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Good to have you here this morning at Bridges Church. Hey, if you haven't already, go ahead and open up the app. If you haven't opened that already, you can do the QR code, get started that way as you're kind of transitioning from worship. It's always a hard transition from that kind of worship to the kind of worship where we look at God's Word, but we're going to do it. So kind of move through, and today we're going to talk about some different verses. You might want to look at those. Have your Bibles ready as well, Acts chapter 4. But we want you to be able to look at the announcements, know what's going on, get involved, because part of our worship in life, a lot of our worship in life is simply following what Jesus asks us to do and getting involved and contributing to his kingdom. So that's part of worship too. So all this is. As you're doing the QR code, as you're looking up the app, all those things, a couple of quick announcements. One, we are preparing a group to go to Kentucky on a missions trip. If you're interested in all, I want you to contact Jacob and just said, hey, I'm interested in the trip. He can give you details and help you get involved with that. So that's coming up here soon. I think there's only a couple of weeks left to sign up for that. So if you know of anybody, if you're interested, make sure you do that. Second announcement we want to kind of make sure that you know about is Good Friday. We're having a service here at 7 o'clock in this auditorium. It's going to be a little different service as we observe the sacrifice of Jesus and what he went through for us. And it's a great time to worship together, to be together as a church family. So put that on your calendars. It's coming up fast. It's a week from Friday. So be prepared for that. And then also remind you about Easter. It is coming soon. And be thinking about who you can invite, who you want to have come with you so that you can share the gospel through that service. So this is a busy time of year. A lot of things going on, but a lot of good things. So we're glad that you're here. Today is the last of our series that we've called The Quest, Finding Financial Freedom Through a Faith Journey. And so I hope that you've allowed God just to speak through this and through every series that we do. Every time we look at God's Word, just let him make this part of your life as we make it part of the life of the church. And then I want to start with a question. I think it's a question that we can't ask too early or too late in our life. And here's a question I want you to think about today as we get going. The question is, what will be your legacy? That's a big word right now. What will be your legacy? If you're like in high school, you need to start thinking about this, because you're going to think about what legacy will I leave behind in my school and in my family. If you're at work, what legacy will I leave behind there? If you're like nearing like the latter part of life, you know, what legacy will you leave behind to your family, to your people that you love and that you care about, in your neighborhood, all around you? What will be your legacy? And it's simply the story. What story do you want people to tell about you? You know, probably if you watch the news, if you're involved with sports, you know that last night was Coach K's last job, last night as a coach. He's finished now, but they talked about all the week long, at least what I saw, about his legacy. And I didn't realize, maybe you saw this and heard about this too, that when he got started, he came over from Army as a basketball coach. And at Army, he had a 9-17 record, so he was not doing well. And they took a lot of flack for hiring him. And his first couple of years, he did not do well at Duke. He didn't win. The boosters all wanted him fired. The students wanted him fired. There was a lot of people pushing for him to go away. And then in 1982, he had a class, the biggest or best recruiting class in the country that year. He brought in some guys like Mark Allery, Jay Billis, Johnny Dawkins, David Henderson. These are some of the guys he brought in. Maybe those names don't mean anything to you, but he went after guys who had quality, not just basketball players, but had a quality he was looking for. Those guys lost. They lost the first couple of years. They didn't play very well. By their third year, they started to gel, and they began to create a culture at Duke that says, we will win. We will give it everything we have. We will sacrifice whatever. And they loved each other as a team. And he talked about in this documentary I saw how much he loved this group. And then their last year, 1986, they actually went to the finals. They lost to Louisville. But they set a culture that before that time, Duke didn't do very well. After that time, they were the best in the country, right? And it was because of this group that they all pointed back to, that was their legacy. Sometimes you have an individual that has a legacy. Sometimes it's a group that has a legacy. So my question to you is not just what's your legacy, but who have you been around in your life that poured into you, that made you different? Maybe it was a group, maybe it was an individual, but a time where you said, okay, this is someone God used in my life to change or to set the trajectory of my life. Maybe it was a grandparent, maybe it was a teacher. Who is it that has a legacy in your life that has made a difference? In my life, when I was growing up, I joined Boy Scouts. I was in a troop that produced Eagle Scouts. There's a small troop in a little town, and this is what they did, and they never once said you need to be an eagle. It was just the example. I still remember these guys that were older than me, Mark Hatch, Arnold Lynch. These are names that to me mean a lot. You've never heard of them. But they just said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to work hard. We don't mess around. We help one another, and we produce Eagle Scouts. They've had 170 Eagle Scouts in this one little troop in the middle of nowhere because they said, we're going to make a difference. And the scoutmasters of those years all did the same thing. I think about when I taught in California, there was one class. And I don't know if you were around school. You just know that sometimes a class stands out. Not that teachers have a favorite class, but really close to me was my first class where I taught the freshmen. They were the first group that I took to Guatemala. And this was the class of 95, and somebody posted pictures from that group. And I went through, and I could name so many of them. And they were good athletes, and they were good students, but they were great people. And they impacted my life and left a legacy behind. And one of the reasons that that group had a legacy and the whole school had a legacy was our principal was an incredible example as a leader. And he didn't lead by rah-rah kind of stuff. He led by just doing the right thing at all times. And it's in the little things that we create a legacy, right? Sometimes we think of big things like winning a championship, but those big things are formed by little things. Little things that you just do every single day, and that will be your legacy. And we think about the legacy not just of an individual, but as a group. What will be our legacy? Billy Graham wrote this years ago. He says, our days are numbered. One of the primary goals in our lives should be to prepare for our last day. The legacy we leave is not just in our possessions, but in the quality of our lives. What preparations should we be making now? Today's the day to create your legacy as a human being, as a follower of Jesus. The way that you talk to one another, the way that you participate in what God's doing, that's what creates your legacy. Ben Franklin wrote this. He said, if you would not be forgotten as you were dead, either write something worth reading or do something worth writing. And I look at the scriptures and I see where they are put together of stories worth writing. In Acts chapter 4, if you have your Bibles turned there, starting in verse 32, there is a story, there is a testimony, there is an account of the first church. And this first church didn't have another example to follow. There had been no churches before this. As a non-denominational church out of the tradition that we come out of, we look at that first church and say, that's how you do it. They had to learn. They had to figure this out. The only example they had was Jesus, which is the best example. And they said, okay, how do you do church? Like, there was no formula for doing church. There was no set, like, you do this, and you do this, and you do this. It was simply the Holy Spirit working in them and them coming together and said, this is what we've been called to do based on the example of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. So I want to read some verses and just say, this is the legacy of that first church that's been passed down to us, and what do we do with it, and how do we live through it? So Acts chapter 4, 32 through 37, just as we read this, go, what stands out to you? What are the words that you go, okay, this is what they were about? And only one of them's named. The rest of them don't have names, but the group set a legacy and a precedent for us to follow. Acts chapter 4, 32 through 37, written by Luke, who had heard about this church and says, I want you to know about this group. This is what he wrote. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the whole apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. And there was one guy, this guy named Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which was his nickname, and it means son of encouragement. He was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, and he sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Luke said of this group, I mean, just looking at him, he's going, this is a group that you need to look at. This is a group where we need to see how they did it. This is a group that did it right, that they followed what God called them to do, and this is just what they figured out as the Holy Spirit worked through them, and it's worth writing about, and we're part of their legacy. Now, as Bridges looks at this, and you look at this as an individual, I want to point out three things that really set their legacy for us to live and for you to live as individuals, and they're there on your outline, and we're just going to be three of these that we're going to look at. The legacy of that first church was this. Number one is they were a true community. A true community, and you know what the difference is, right? If you've ever been in a group that was a true community, it feels different than just a group of people who are doing a common task. There is a huge difference in the way it feels and the way it operates, what they accomplish, and what they're centered on. They were a true community. Looking back at verse 32, just a couple of things that stood out. Look at that. They were one heart and one soul. You ever been in a group like that, that you just felt like we're in this together? Maybe it was a sport team. Maybe it was a group of friends. And you just knew what they were thinking, and they knew what you were thinking, and you anticipated one another, and you looked forward to getting with them, and they thought of you, and you thought of them, and there wasn't any selfishness, there wasn't any backbiting, there wasn't gossip, there was just love, right? Have you ever been part of a group like that? This is so special. Luke was saying this is what set them apart. They were so different from any other group, and they had everything in common. They said, what's mine is yours. We're just going to share this stuff. If you need something, I've got it. If I have something, I'll hand it to you. If you have something, you hand it to me. It's just they had everything in common, and they made this thing work. Last Saturday, we did a prayer walk here around the building. We were just putting out some flyers to talk about the family to family, and we just said, people, if you know of anybody, it was so much fun to walk through these back neighborhoods on this side of the building. We just went through those neighborhoods back there. And as we were walking, it kind of hit me because I took a group and I got us lost, okay? How do you get lost right back here? Well, it's not my fault. I'm going to blame it on the map because the map said that the road went through and the road doesn't go through anymore and it wasn't marked on the map. So I got to the dead end and I go, oh, I don't know where to go. So I think we're supposed to turn right. And I turned right with my group and we ended up on Old Town Road, okay? And I'm going, how did we end up on Old Town Road? I go, if we go up Old Town, we're going to get back in the neighborhood and it doesn't ever cut back in. I'm going to blame it on the fact that they're working on the road. I don't know where I was, I'll be honest with you. But what we found is we went down Old Town Road, we crossed down toward the end at Bethabara. I don't know if you realize how close we are to Bethabara. Now, we're not Moravian, but we carry some of the legacy of those people who used to walk right here. They came down in 1753. 1753, a group of 15 men traveled from Pennsylvania, and they found a spot in the woods, and they established a community. And they came down the Great Wagon Road, which is one I travel every single day when I leave Bethania. It has this sign, the Great Wagon Road. They walked here because they wanted to be a witness of the community of Christ in this area. They prayed over this area. They left a legacy here. It's an amazing story if you think about it. They were the first Protestants. I've told this story before. The very first Protestants, they were followers of a guy named John Huss in 1400s. And they formed these little communities that they called families. And they just said, this is how you follow Jesus. They got scattered. They faced a lot of persecution. They got all over Europe. And then there was a man named Count Zinzendorf. What a great name. I don't even know where that comes from. Zinzendorf. He lived in a part of Czechoslovakia. And he invited all these groups to come live on his property. He said, come here, and we're just going to see what God does. And they all had different ways of doing things. They weren't getting along. And so what he did is he went from house to house, and he opened his Bible and said, what does God want us to do? What does it look like to be a Christian community? And he prayed with them. And if you know their story, you know that one time they had a meal. They were just eating together, just like the first church. And the Holy Spirit was there. And the Holy Spirit changed them. And there was such love for one another. So this is what we've been looking for. And if you live in the area, you know every December they celebrate the Love Feast as a reminder of the time that God swept through them and made them a community, not just for themselves, but take the gospel all over the world. Count Zinzendorf said this, and he wrote this. He said, there can be no Christianity without community. In other words, there's no such thing as a renegade Christian. There's no such thing as a Christian who just goes off and does their own thing. We're part of a body of Christ, and we're pulled together out of love for Jesus. And that's the kind of community they were. They took care of one another. They were there for each other. They made sure each one was taken care of, and they said, this is the way you live. It's one of the reasons we're doing the family for family bags. These are just some of them here. There's still a bunch in the lobby. There's more coming in later. New Church is collecting theirs this week. Trinity will be collecting theirs this week. Frontiers is collecting theirs this week. And all we're doing is we're saying, this is what happens when Jesus works in our lives. We take care of people. We take care of the community that God has established in. It's why we have a food pantry, why we have a clothes closet, it's why we do the backpack program. We're just here shining the light of Jesus because that's what community does. We take care of one another and we love the people beyond. And that's the legacy that we pick up from that very first church. The second thing they were known for, not just a true community, but number two is they were known as a church or a group that had a powerful testimony, very powerful testimony. Now, in the passage before this that we didn't read, you got to know the story. Peter and John, they were out doing what Jesus called them to do after resurrection. Before the resurrection, they were both scared, right? Peter denied Jesus. They ran away. John was isolated. After the resurrection, after Pentecost, their lives were changed. In the little bit of the chapter preceding what we just read earlier, we hear that John, Peter and John are out walking, and there's a man who is lame. He's not able to walk. He asks for money. They don't have any to give him. They said, we can help you with where you are. And they lifted him up, and as he was lifted up, he was healed in the name of Jesus. And they're brought in, the authorities bring him in and said, you can't do that anymore. Stop using the name of Jesus. And here's Peter and John, just average Joes, right? Just a few weeks before had denied Jesus. And now they're standing in front of the authorities trying to tell why they had done what they'd done in the name of Jesus. And they basically said, we can't stop talking about what we've seen and heard. And they let the guys go. And this group went back. And you know what they prayed for? They prayed for boldness. They prayed for boldness. Instead of praying for their own safety and their own protection and they didn't want to get arrested anymore, they prayed that instead they would share the story of Jesus, the name of Jesus. That's their legacy. They said, no matter what pressure you put on us, we're going to continue to talk about Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, just kind of go back over this. It says this, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The testimony of Jesus' resurrection. That was their story. It's a powerful story. When Jesus died, it should have ended the movement. But because he rose from the grave, every one of them said, we cannot stop talking about it. I think in our world, a lot of times, we talk about everything else but the resurrection, right? We talk about church, talk about we do these different activities, we'll have a basketball, whatever it may be. But we fail sometimes to just talk about the life-changing resurrection of Jesus. He died, he rose, we have hope. It's that simple. He died, he rose, we have hope. And that's what they shared with great power. There are people surrounding this church, there's people in your families that don't know this Jesus. Where are they going to hear about him? Except from us, the people who love them. Whether it's as a church, or whether it's an individual, that will be our legacy, how often we share the story of Jesus. Not what kind of good people we may be or the mistakes we made, but what Jesus has done in our life. That's what this first church was about. And that's what Bridges needs to be about. As they looked at the story of Jesus, they also talked about what Jesus was doing in their life. One of the guys' names was Joseph, right? We've seen his story before. His nickname was Barnabas, son of encouragement. He was an encourager. He was the guy that would come in and build you up, right? There's some great people in our church. They just come in and they build you up. And that's what Joseph was all about. In Acts chapter 11, they give a short testimony of what God was doing in his life. And this is what it says. He was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And that's all it says. But isn't that a great legacy? He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. What else needs to be said? God was at work in his life through the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be a great legacy for your family to say about you? They were a good person. They were filled with faith in what Jesus did and is doing, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. It says it all. Several years ago, a magazine did a contest. They said, can you tell someone's story in 6 words? What's their story in 6 words? Here's what I would do with Joseph if it was his story. I would say this, right? Here's the 6 words. Good person, spirit, and faith-filled. That's it. That would be his story. Now, in that contest, they had some other people's stories. Here's one. One tooth, one cavity, life's cruel. That's kind of a sad one, isn't it? That's somebody's story right there. They had one tooth, one cavity, life's cruel. Another one said, cursed by cancer, blessed by friends. It was a little 6-year-old boy who had thyroid cancer. Not someone with a lot of wisdom from age, but wisdom from experience. Cursed by cancer, blessed by friends. That's their story. Thought it would make more impact. That's someone who's kind of looked at their legacy and has said, it's not where I want it to be yet. I want to get there. And my favorite one of this, of the 6 words, was saved by grace, free at last. Isn't that a great testimony, a great story of your life? What is your story? It's the question today. What's your story? How do you want it told? You write it every single day. Second part of that question is, what is Jesus doing in your life? That's what you tell. What is the grace story of your life? Where you've made mistakes, perhaps, but God stepped in. Where you doubted and God showed how faithful he was. What's your faith story? You don't have to do it in 6 words or less. But what has God done in your life that you could share with people? Somebody comes to you with a problem, and you go, this is what God's done in my life in that same area. Can I just share him? It's so easy in our culture to talk about everything else but what God's doing. We're so private here. But in a simple conversation with a relationship that you've built, just simply say, you know what? I prayed, and this is how God took care of me. I didn't do what I was supposed to, but God showed me grace. And this is how he's working. That's a powerful testimony. I know in our life as a family, there's some stories that I want passed down as our legacy of what God's doing in our life, our testimony. We've talked about this before. We were in California, and Stacy was pregnant with our first son, Ethan. We were living in an upstairs apartment, and we got, there's no way we're going to get this stroller up to that apartment. So we started looking at houses, couldn't find a house to move into. And we finally found one or heard about one, and it was owned by an elder at the church where we were going, where Stacy was working. It's about a mile from the church. We went and looked at it, perfect house. Asked him what he wanted for it, and he said an amount which was a lot more than we could afford. And we said, this is a great house. We love it, but we just can't afford that. He goes, what can you afford? And so we told him, this is what we can afford. He says, okay, we'll do that. We'll charge you that. We lived there for 4 years. The day after we moved out, he put it on the market, got $2,000 a month more in rent than what he was charging us. And that's a God story. God used him to take care of us and blessed us because he had been blessed. What's your story? This is a story we'll talk about with God. We talk about all the time how when I quit my work to find where we were supposed to go, and I quit my job and wasn't making any money, and that's a scary time. And somebody just came and put money on Stacy's desk. It's like, that's a God story. We've had this over and over in our life. We go, that's God at work. And it's fun to see that. And it's tough when you're getting there, but on the other side, it's an exciting story. We talk about with our boys, like we didn't save a lot for their college education. We just weren't able to put that away. And yet God has blessed us in that way because our older son had got a full scholarship to East Carolina, and he just got a full scholarship to Wake. It's cool to go to law school. So we go, God, he did that. He did that. We look at Micah, and it's cool because he's going to school for free. And God is working. I could easily say, well, this was the circumstances. This is how God, or this is how the government did this, or because of COVID. I could tell you all that kind of way. Or I could tell the God story, which is we have just turned it over to God, and God works. So what's your God story? You choose how you're going to tell it. Was it you or was it God? Was it circumstances or was it God at work? If you pray about something and you get an answer, you've got to tell the story of what God did. I hope that makes sense. You've got to share your story because that's your legacy. It's not about us. It's what God is doing. And they had a powerful testimony in that first church. Third thing that they did, as far as a lasting example, is they had a lasting example that they set. In Acts chapter 4, 34 through 37, the end of that passage, it simply says there was not a needy person among them. They took care of each other. They set the example. How do you do church? You just take care of each other. That's what they figured out. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid at the apostles' feet. That's why we put these up here. This is what we're giving to God. And it was distributed to each as any had need. It's just, this is how you do church. Next verse, talking about Joseph, said, thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They said, here, it belongs to you, God. This had been given to me, this property. He bought it. Somehow he had it in his possession, and he gave it away. And every one of these stories deals with generosity. It deals with grace. It deals with God giving and the people turning around and giving it back to God. That's what it's about. We love, I think, generosity stories. I love hearing them. Maybe you do too, about people who just do crazy stuff and just give to God or give to someone. I read about three different stories this week. One was a guy named Colin Harrison from the UK. Colin, when he was in his 30s, went through a difficult divorce and wanted to give back in some ways. Didn't have a lot of money, he said, but what I do have is blood, okay? And so he decided that every 3 months he would go give blood. 30 years later, he's still giving blood. He's given 120 pints of blood. Think about the number of lives that he's changed, that he's impacted. That's his legacy. That's what he could do. Everybody at the blood place knows his name because he's there every single time going, this is what I can do. This is what I can do. I heard the story of Lisa Demas, and she's a lady that lived in Utah, and she went to go get her wedding dress, and she went in without a lot of money and went through and tried to pick out the right one, found a couple that she liked, wasn't sure about them, and then decided she found her one. She went up to pay for it, and the lady at the counter said, it's already been paid for. When you came in, there was a lady in the back listening to you talk and about your excitement, and she wanted to pay for your dress, and so it's all paid for. And we don't even know who the person was. And you don't have to know. It's part of the story of how God takes care of people. And then there's the story of Nicole Ballerman, a third grade teacher in Massachusetts. And she won a Capital One prize, $150,000. And she told them the things she wanted to spend it on was books for her students. They said, fine, what we'll do is we'll buy books for your students, three of them each. They'll give them all books. And she said, great. And they go, you still get your $150,000. And she turned that money around and gave it to the school. Now, she's a school teacher. You know, they don't make a lot of money. But she said, this is the way I've been blessed. I want to give it away. Stories like that just touch my heart. You know, you go through the drive-thru and someone's already paid for your food. Isn't that a great story? You just love to tell those. Because, like, always those perfect moments when God steps in and you go, God, I needed that. I just need to know you were there. I need to know somebody was there that you're working through. And God works through those kinds of moments. We've talked about before just the generosity of the people here at Bridges. We got started out of generosity. Our legacy will go back to East 91st Street Christian Church in Indianapolis, who heard about us through a friend. They have no connection to Winston-Salem whatsoever, but they wanted a gospel-preaching church here, and they just sent us a check for $50,000 and said, start a church, no strings attached. And it's just an amazing testimony to someone who had that vision. Jefferson Christian church just over in Rural Hall. Gave a lot of money to get us started. First Christian of Kernersville gave us a lot of money to get us started because they wanted the gospel preached. That's our legacy. And I wish I could tell you some of the stories of individuals who've given above and beyond, but we kind of keep this anonymous so that they don't get the glory, but God does. And there are people at this church have done amazing stuff. And it's because God's given to them, and they turn around and say, we're going to give back to God. This month, we've talked about a special offering. We have a goal. It's not about the goal. It's just about giving back to God and saying, God, you blessed us. We want to bless others. So this month of April, we're just saying, you know, if God has blessed you, then just give to him whatever he says to give. That's all we want to say about it. Let him work and let God move. The legacy of that first church was simply they were a community who said, we don't know how to do church except to follow what Jesus taught us to do. We're going to love each other. We're going to sacrifice each other. We're going to do what Jesus would do if he was here in our midst. And that's our legacy. And that's the legacy we want to pass down as a church. I want to close with this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. I think it's what it's all about, what we've been talking about this series, and this is the closing verse for it. You will be enriched in every way. For what reason? To be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And that's what it's all about. It's about thanking God that he gets the glory. He's the provider. He's the one that makes it happen. And so we just want to say, as a church, it's all about Jesus. Has always been about Jesus and always will about being about Jesus. It's about his resurrection. It's about the life that he gives us. His death for us, the greatest grace we'll ever receive. And that's the story we want to leave behind. So let's pray together and just let's say to God, thank you for the great grace we've received and help us to live as a church and as individuals as that first church did, focused on Jesus, willing to do whatever he asks us to do, and loving the people around us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the past. We can look back to that first church that you blessed, that they had seen Jesus and his resurrection. It had a powerful story, and it's the same powerful story we have today. And you changed them. They became different people, bold, ready to share the resurrection story wherever they went, and willing to sacrifice and do whatever it took to take care of the ones around them, especially each other. So we just give you this time, look forward to what you're going to do. I pray for anyone in this room that maybe needs to receive generosity. Help us to help them, Father God. And may they see you in work in their lives. Thank you for these bags up here on this stage. We thank you for the families that will receive them. Thank you for this community you placed us in for your purpose. That the light of Jesus will shine brightly here for his name's sake. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Today, as you prepare for communion, if you haven't gotten the packet already, go ahead and do that. And normally the word legacy, if you look at the first definition of legacy, it means an inheritance. It's what you pass down. In our house, I have several items from my father. He was a doctor, but he loved to carve. He would carve different things. And so in some ways, that's his legacy. I look at these things he carved on our shelves and go, I remember my dad. I was working on some odd jobs around the house, and I was trying to remember some of the things he taught me, and my grandfather had taught me how to do different things. That's part of their legacy in my life. But the legacy of Jesus is the greatest legacy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 3, and 4, Peter talks about this. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. In other words, you have an inheritance coming, and I have an inheritance coming. It's not money, it's not things, it's life eternal with Jesus. It's a perfect place with all the glory of God there in front of us. And all the things that God's ever done for us, and it's this place that we're going to experience him face to face forever. And that's our inheritance, and nothing can happen to it. It's safe. So when you eat the bread and drink the juice, remind yourself that you have an inheritance from Jesus that will last forever. And that's why we celebrate communion. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for that inheritance that won't decay, won't ever go away, that it's priceless because it involves our lives. Eternal life with Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the mercy of God, all encompassed on the cross. So, Father, as we eat the bread and drink the juice, remind us of what was paid for us to receive what we will experience in heaven. And we pray this in His name. Amen.